Now we're going to talk about evangelism specifically. When we are talking with our Muslim neighbors and friends, we should follow these pointers in evangelism. First, use the Word of God. The Word of God is power. It goes out and it does not return void. The gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation. So we just use Scripture to present the gospel and always rely on it when talking to Muslims or anybody else for that matter. You can use a Bible study. Introduce a Bible study. There are several of them out there. We have some in the resources here. If you want to reach your Muslim neighbor, use the Word of God by using a Bible study that helps explore the Word of God. You'll be surprised how often Muslims will initiate questions about Jesus if you are living a life that invites them to do so. So, live a life that invites them to ask you questions. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Share what's going on in your life. Don't hide it. Don't hide your beliefs. In humility and out of love for everybody, including your Muslim neighbor, simply share your beliefs and be open to biblical questions. Personalize sin in the same way that Christ did for his hearers. In your discussions, make sin a personal matter rather than an academic idea. Press home the point of sin and guilt graciously but clearly. To the extent that you're able, foster a sense of urgency. Like the Israelites of Jesus' time, many Muslims have taken heaven for granted because they are children of Abraham and a good Muslim. Many have never considered the possibility that they might go to hell, and opening their eyes to this may be the most loving thing that you can do. You can share them stories like the woman at the well or the Sermon on the Mount. Tell stories about Jesus' grace. I would also encourage you to focus on telling your Muslim friends stories about ways Jesus challenged and sometimes rejected the self-righteous, but embraced the marginalized and sick sinners who knew their need of him. This will likely stir up questions in your Muslim friend, because the way Christ confronts works righteousness is the complete opposite of what Islam glorifies. Here are a few stories from the gospel to help you get started. First, the parable of the prodigal son. It's in Luke 15:11-32. Use the example of the self-righteous brother to show how pride estranges us from God, and that we must also repent of the false sense of self-righteousness that hardens our hearts towards others. This may incite a visible response of shock and disbelief from your Muslim friend, since Islamic culture takes respecting their elders, especially the father, and preserving a family's honor very seriously. Second, the story of the tax collector and the Pharisee who both went to the temple to pray. That's in Luke 18:9-14. Third, the bleeding woman who touches the cloak of Jesus and is healed. Luke 8:40-48. Your Muslim friend may find it appalling that a bleeding woman who would be considered too unclean to even pray to Allah would touch the Holy One. Yet Jesus calls her daughter, speaks with her, and then heals her. Use this story to show them that Christ's holiness purifies the undeserving, the unholy. Explain the seriousness of sin and the need for a sacrifice. As an example, Muslims go through a meticulous process of ceremonial washing when they have been exposed to external defilements in order to attain proper standing before Allah. Ask your Muslim friend, how is it that our hearts and minds will be cleansed of filthy, dirty sin? She can cleanse her hands and body, but how does she cleanse her heart? Share the good news with her that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, in 1 John 1:9. Only Jesus can cleanse our hearts, minds, and souls to make us acceptable before God. And be patient with your Muslim friend when you explain why Jesus had to die. Show them that sacrifices for atonement have been a part of prophetic tradition as early as Adam and Eve, followed by more examples at the temple or the Holy of Holies and Isaiah 53. Remind them of the warning God gave Adam and Eve in the garden. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God cannot lie, and he must stay true to his word when he said that sin will lead to death. Emphasize the resurrection. Spend a long time emphasizing God's victory through the resurrection. You cannot stress this enough. Unfortunately, many Christians tend to mention the resurrection as a side note when they present the gospel. But precisely because our Muslim friends often find the death of Christ to be a stumbling block, we must be careful to explain that through the resurrection of Christ, God was victorious, defeated sin, Satan, and the evil which so many Muslims fear. Because of the resurrection, God stands in authority and has placed all things under his feet. Because Jesus conquered sin and death and was raised to life, those who follow him also die to their sins and are raised to new life in the way of Christ. Invite your Muslim friend to follow a risen, all-powerful, conquering Savior. Use biblical language. Remember that your Muslim friend shares terms like repentance and faith and may struggle to understand how your faith is distinctive. Instead, try to use more distinctive biblical language that they won't be able to ignore. For an example, born again, from John 3:3, born of God, John 3:7-8, raised from death to life, Romans 6:1-5, united to Christ, Romans 6:5, new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. Know your Old Testament. Muslims love the prophets, especially Abraham and Moses, and stories about God's work through them. Show them how even the prophets in the Old Testament all foreshadowed God's plan of ultimate redemption through Christ. For example, Muslims love the story of Abraham, who was willing to sacrifice his son because it shows that Abraham had such faith in Allah that he was willing to obey God even if it meant the death of his son. As a side note, the Quran teaches it was Ishmael, not Isaac. This is such an important story in Islamic tradition that Muslims commemorate it every year through the Eid al-Adha holiday. So explain to your Muslim friend that all of us are just like Abraham's son and that our sin puts a death sentence on our lives. But just as Allah sent an animal in place of Abraham's son, our gracious God provided a sacrifice through Jesus Christ. Okay, this next one's really important. Be continually in prayer. It is the Holy Spirit who seeks and saves the lost. Seek his guidance and power as you present the word. Be a genuine friend. I can't stress that one enough either. We're not taking Muslims as projects. They're people. They're image of God. And we can be their friends, and they can be our friends. Be a genuine friend. Don't be the friend that's always talking about the gospel constantly. You can just be a genuine friend and build a friendship with them and share the gospel sporadically through that friendship. Show your good works. Tell them why you do the good works that you do. If you're a Christian being conformed in the likeness of Jesus, your Muslim friend should most certainly notice a difference between you and other Americans. Undoubtedly, your good works will commend your faith, but be very clear that you pursue holiness as a response to the gift of salvation he has given you. Your Muslim friend may try to find ways to say you are both the same in your desire to honor God. Gently, yet boldly, point out that while your Muslim friend is trying to earn God's favor, you are responding to his unconditional love. 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Love them unconditionally. Show them hospitality. Seek to bless them with the generosity of Christ, regardless of how they initially respond to the gospel. As important as it is that you verbally explain the gospel, it is just as crucial that you love and serve your Muslim friends. This helps to put flesh on the claims we make about Christ. This is crucial because it shows our Muslim friends that, contrary to Islam, the gospel is not merely about external adherence to a system of laws and instructions. Our loving actions toward our Muslim friends will show them the love of God Himself. Ask thought-provoking questions. Do you expect to go to heaven? How do you know God will accept you? What does the Quran teach about forgiveness? May I show you what the Bible teaches? What will heaven be like? Will God be there? Get to Jesus and move the conversation to the critical question, who is Jesus? Listen attentively. When you ask questions, listen to the answer no matter how long it takes. Don't just look for the pause that lets you jump in with an answer. Be an active listener and you'll be surprised what you learn. And as a side note, this is just good for all of life. I think most of us, well, I'll say I, and I know some others, we sit there and wait for a time to talk. We don't listen. And it's something we really need. It's a good virtue we really need to cultivate in ourselves. It's a discipline for some of us, but listen attentively. Present your beliefs boldly. State what you believe clearly and openly and without apology. Show scripture passages to support those teachings. This places the responsibility for doctrine where it belongs, on the Word of God. Reason, don't argue. Arguments may win the point, but lose the hearing. Avoid vain disputations. Keep getting back to Jesus. Don't denigrate Muhammad or the Quran. Just don't do it. Be mindful of cultural sensitivities. Guard your tongue. Be careful of how you physically handle your Bible, which is a holy text. Be sensitive to gender customs. For an example, I have one of those English translation Qurans, and in the front page of it, it says, hey, this is a holy book. Don't read this or treat this book with a lack of care. And it cites one of the examples as, don't read this in the bathroom. Don't read this while you're on the toilet. In Islam, they treat the physical Quran very dearly. An actual Quran would be handled with tremendous care and viewed as a holy thing. Not just a book you slap in your backpack and throw around and read on the toilet or wherever else you would do it. So don't treat your Bible in a way that they would not treat the Quran. Persevere. Islam is enslaving, and Muslims have a lot of rethinking to do when they encounter the gospel. Be patient and strive to be faithful. Engage the corporate witness of the church. Remember, the Bible is God's living and active word that will change hearts and lives. Realize that when we invite our Muslim friends to put their faith in Christ, we are asking them to put their family relationships, reputation, and in some instances, their very lives in jeopardy. Your Muslim friend is very much accustomed to identifying with the collective, and it would serve him well to be surrounded by a loving community of God's people, as he or she considers the claims of Jesus and, Lord willing, turning their lives to Christ. Show your Muslim friend the comforting truths of God's word in Matthew 19:29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Remember, the unity of the local church reveals that Christ has come. Okay, as a conclusion, our hope in reaching our Muslim friends is not vast knowledge of Islam or clever strategies or our squeaky clean lives. Our hope is in God Himself and His supernatural power to save, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does help to understand some of the nuance of Islamic beliefs, and we should be wise in the specific ways we interact with Muslims. But ultimately, it is God who saves, and so our task is to be faithful in presenting the gospel to our Muslim friends and trust God with the results.